We're going to continue our series of messages on the question, what happens when we pray? And I think as we are pursuing this and going through these messages on what happens when we pray, we discover that when we fulfill our role and responsibility in prayer, a lot happens when we pray. There's a lot going on when we pray. It's not just the words that come out of our mouth. We are actually participating in a heavenly exercise where all three members of the Trinity are actively involved in our prayer. We are privileged to participate in prayer with God, with every member of the Trinity. And through prayer, the child of God enters into the very presence of God. So tonight, we're going to cover one more role of prayer. What happens when we pray? We're going to be looking at, in full, four different roles. Our role in prayer, the Holy Spirit's role in prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ's role in prayer, as well as our Heavenly Father's role in prayer. 2 Sundays ago, we looked at our role in prayer, and that role is primarily one of asking. You don't need to turn there, but Matthew 7:7-8, I just want to remind you, says this: ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Our role in prayer is primarily one of asking. And this implies that we recognize that there is something missing in our life. We recognize that there is a deficiency in our life. People don't ask for things generally unless they have a need and recognize that need. You're not going to ask for directions unless you realize that you're lost. You're not going to ask for money unless you realize you don't have enough for something. You're not going to ask for clothes or food or whatever unless you realize there's a deficiency in your life. And so it is in our prayer life. We will not come to the Lord and ask unless we recognize that there's a need in our life. And a great spiritual need. That is our role. It is primarily one of asking. We've looked at that. The second role that we saw last Sunday night was the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer. His role is primarily that of helping us in our prayers. Again, you don't need to turn there, but to remind you, Romans 8:26 says this: likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit also, here's the key word, helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Holy Spirit helps. And this implies that there must be a change in our perspective in prayer, that we need to rely on the Spirit of God and His helping us in prayer. If you need help, that means that you're going to have to depend on the person helping you. If you are drowning in the middle of an ocean and you are needing help and to be rescued, you would actually have to depend on that person to help you. We've heard stories, and I've heard stories of people that were drowning. And the person that is going out there, the lifesaver, is going out there to help that person that is drowning. And they both end up drowning. Why? Because the person that is drowning doesn't just rest in the arms of his rescuer. And so it is when we realize we need help in prayer. We must rest in the arms of the Holy Spirit as He helps us and lifts us up and lifts our prayers with His own help into the presence of Almighty God. So tonight we're going to look at the third role in prayer, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ's role in prayer. What is Christ's role in prayer? What is Jesus Christ doing right at the moment that we bow and we enter into the presence of God through prayer? What does Jesus do? Does he just sit around? Does he wait? Does he wait for us to say at the very end, in Jesus' name? What is the Lord Jesus Christ doing actively while we are praying? Ultimately, Christ's role is that He perfects our prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ's role is that of a perfection. He perfects our prayers. He perfects them. And we know that we need our prayers perfected because none of our prayers are perfect in and of themselves. Rather, our prayers are weak very often. Very often, our prayers, we know, are finite. They lack the power. They lack the desire. They lack the strength. They lack the energy and the eagerness, the earnestness in prayer. Our weak and finite prayers are offered with the infinite help of the Holy Spirit to our Heavenly Father through our great High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who infinitely perfects our prayers and intercedes on our behalf. That is, in a nutshell, what happens when we pray. It involves ourselves as well as every member of the Trinity. I'd like to read that again because I think it really encapsulates for us what prayer is and what happens when we pray. Our weak and finite prayers are offered with the infinite help of the Holy Spirit to the Heavenly Father through our great High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who infinitely perfects our prayers and intercedes on our behalf. That is the role of Christ in prayer. Ultimately, He is the one that is perfecting our prayers before the Father. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Our prayers do not have to be perfect. We've heard people pray before, and we've perhaps even sat uncomfortably in our pew as someone starts to hem and haw, and they're starting to stutter, and they're not really sure what words to say, and all these things. And sometimes we feel bad for the person that's praying because we don't know, you know, we're embarrassed for them and how they say things in a public prayer. And yet, we don't have to worry about that because Christ perfects our prayer. Christ is the one who does His perfecting process, not just in our lives spiritually, but even in our own prayers. Tonight I'd like to consider how Jesus Christ perfects our prayers. How does He do it? We see four ways in which He perfects our prayers. First, Jesus Christ perfects our prayers through His pattern for our prayer. Jesus Christ perfects our prayers through His pattern for our prayer. When Jesus Christ came into this world, He came not just to save, but also to serve. And one of the aspects of His serving is that He serves as an example of how a Christian should pray. Because naturally, we don't know how to pray. Someone naturally does not know how to pray. Rather, it is a spiritual practice. It is a spiritual exercise that every Christian needs someone to teach them how to pray. That is why the disciples asked the Lord in Luke 11:1. It says in Luke 11:1, "And it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, that when He stopped," I would imagine the disciples were listening to Christ's prayer and thought, "Wow, this guy can pray." You ever thought that about someone that you heard pray? This man has power with men and power with God. This man knows how to pray. The disciples said unto the Lord, "Lord, teach us to pray." As John also taught his disciples. They realized that they needed something that Christ had. They realized that their prayers were imperfect, weak, and finite. And they realized that their prayers could only be empowered after Christ taught them how to pray. And this is how Jesus Christ perfects our prayers. He teaches us how to pray. Christ perfects our prayer by teaching us how to pray. How does He do this? There are two ways in which Jesus teaches us how to pray. He teaches us through instruction. He teaches us through instruction. This is why after His disciples asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray," in Luke 11:1, that immediately after they asked Him that, Jesus Christ gave them the Lord's Prayer, a model prayer. He used that to instruct them on how to pray. We've been covering the Lord's Prayer, covered in Matthew chapter 6. And as we learn the model prayer, we will learn how our prayers can be perfected. Why? Because we're following after Christ's own prayer. If you think that you know how to pray and you're not going to get help in prayer, I've got to tell you, your prayers will not be perfected until you go to Christ and ask Him to teach you to pray. We need to learn how to pray because our prayers are weak, our prayers are limited, and Christ's role is to perfect our prayers, and one of those roles is that He teaches us how. We need to be humble students. We need to be humble students, waiting and ready for what He teaches us about prayer. The second aspect, or the second way in which He teaches us how to pray, is through His own example, and as a model for prayer, through His own example. He teaches us how to pray by being an example of how to pray. Again, we've already discussed these different Lord's prayers, the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, Matthew chapter 6, and we could use each of those prayers and each of the categories and each of the phrases, even each of the words within those prayers to learn more about it and learn more about how to pray. But not only that, Jesus Christ, we have recorded many and several of His prayers. And we can look at these prayers and see how the Lord prayed and ask the Holy Spirit to instruct us and to illuminate us so that we will know even in a greater way how we can pray. Jesus Christ is also an example of when to pray. When did Jesus pray? Jesus prayed when times were good. Jesus prayed when times were bad. Jesus prayed when He was going out for ministry. Jesus prayed often when He was alone in a solitary place. We realize that Jesus prayed all the time. He was the model when it says, pray without ceasing. You know what the Lord did? He prayed without ceasing. He was in a constant communication with His Father in heaven. This instructs us and teaches us that we need to pray as Christ prayed. We need to make sure that there is a relationship and a communication with God in heaven on a consistent and a continuous basis. How do we do that? By making sure that our lives are right for God. So that at a moment's notice, we can lift up our heart in prayer and say, God, this is a burden on my heart. Lord, I need You here. I need You here. I need this, Lord. Lord, pray for this person that is sick on the side of the road there that's just been involved in an accident. Lord, I pray for this person over here that You just placed upon my heart. We need to be ready always to pray. That is an example that the Lord teaches us, and that perfects our prayers. Jesus was an example of where to pray. Jesus prayed on a boat. Jesus prayed at a mountain. Jesus prayed in the valley. Jesus prayed on the shore. Jesus prayed in houses. Jesus prayed everywhere He went. And so it is with us. Yes, there are certain times that we need to go into our quiet closet and find a place, a solitary place where we can bow to the presence of God and spend an extra amount of time in prayer. If you don't have a specific place that you can go in solitary place and at a solitary time and spend a significant amount of prayer, your prayers will not be perfected, because we need to recognize where Christ prayed. He prayed in solitary places. He prayed for evenings at a time. We need to pray the way Christ prayed. We need to learn that this is an example of how to pray. This is how Christ perfects our prayer, by us following His example. He also shows us an example of why we should pray. He prayed for His disciples. He prayed for us. He prayed for Himself. We need to recognize all those areas. And we have looked at some of these on Wednesday nights, and we'll continue to do so. But Christ perfects our prayer by teaching us how to pray. There are some examples of how Christ prayed that, when heeded, will also perfect our prayers. In Matthew chapter 26, we come to the place where Jesus is entering into the Garden of Gethsemane just before He was arrested and eventually crucified. And I believe that in this passage, we have before us a lesson on prayer. We can go here and learn a lot about prayer by following after Christ's example. I'd like to read verses 36 through 44. 36 through 44. And then we can take a look at some of the ways in which Christ prayed that we can learn from. It says in Matthew 26, verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them, His disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And so Jesus took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And He came unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came again and found them heavy, them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Look at how Christ prayed according to these verses. First, how did prayer affect the mind and heart of Christ? How did prayer affect the heart and mind of Christ? If you look there in verse 38, Jesus said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." We need to realize that Jesus Christ, when his heart was filled with sorrow, filled with burden, filled with problems, filled with issues in his life, you know what he did? He took it to the Lord in prayer. That is a lesson of how we can pray. We need to recognize that prayer can affect our mind, heart, and soul by bringing us to a point where we go to the Lord for help. He is the one who is our help. We realize so often that we go to other places and other people far more than we ever go to the Lord, don't we? We think that we can do it ourselves. We think that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We think that we are capable of ourselves to get us out of these messes. And the truth is, we're not. We need to go, like Christ here, when we are sorrowful of heart, when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and showing us that there is a burden there, we are to take our burden to the Lord in prayer. That's how prayer affected the Lord's mind and heart. And that's a lesson of how we can pray. But how did prayer affect his posture? Even the very physical way in which Christ prayed. It says here that he went a little further in verse 39. And what did he do? He fell on his face. What an amazing picture. Our Lord, Jesus Christ, the one that we looked at this morning, that God sent forth his Son, the very messenger, the very ambassador of God the Father, coming here into this world, you know what? His face was in the dirt. He bowed his face into the very dirt that he made man out of. The very dirt that was there in the garden, and he breathed it in, and he fell on his face before God because he realized with anguish in heart that he needed his help from his Father. That is a demonstration of how we ought to approach God in prayer. We ought to approach him with an earnestness and an eagerness, with a heavy heart, with a burden that is filled with care, and come before God and literally prostrate ourselves before him and say, "God, I cannot do it on my own. I need your help." When was the last time we came before God in prayer and said, maybe even our own posture, laying out before him and said, "God, I need you." The Lord says that the prayer of a contrite man who cannot be silenced. That is a picture of contrition, a picture of submission, a picture of humility and humiliation before God and recognizing that he must increase and we must decrease. That is what Jesus teaches. His prayer affected his own posture. The burdens that he came to the Father with affected his own demeanor in prayer. That is how it affected him. How did prayer affect his own will? If you go on, it says in verse 39, he asked his Father, "Oh, Father," while he's there on his face, "if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Then he says this amazing phrase, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." How did prayer affect his will? The Lord Jesus Christ aligned his will with his own Father's will and said, "Lord, Father, I am going to align myself with you. I want to do your will. No matter what it costs me, no matter what it costs me, my life, my death, I am going to follow after your will." What a tremendous lesson in prayer for us. If we are going to the Lord in prayer and are not willing to follow after his will, we are not going to prayer in the right way at all. But how did prayer affect God, Christ's own desire? It says in verse 44 that he went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You know, it said of the Apostle Paul that he sought the Lord three times in prayer that he would cast away a certain thorn in the flesh. Now, I'm not sure if three times is a special number when it comes to prayer requests, but we see here that Christ prayed earnestly and with great importunity and insistence to God. He prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed again that the Lord would do something, that the Father would do something for him. And then after that third time, he said, okay, Lord, I'm ready. He came to the Lord multiple times for the same request. He said the same words. He said the same words, and for the same reason, with the same grief and the same burdens on his heart. And so it is a lesson for us in our prayers. We need to pray earnestly with great insistence to the Lord. We need to realize that Christ perfects our prayer by serving as the pattern for our prayers. This is just one example. Look in the Scriptures, look in the Gospels, and find other prayers of Christ, and see what you can learn about prayer. And as you learn, your prayers will be perfected by Him. We must learn from the Master about prayer. We must sit with Christ in the school of prayer. That is the title of a book on prayer written by Andrew Murray. And I would encourage you, you can get it off the internet, you can go to a Christian bookstore, pick up one of Andrew Murray's books titled With Christ in the School of Prayer. It's divided up very nicely. There's 31 chapters, so you can read one every single day if the month is 31 days. January would be a good day for that, or a good month for that. Read one chapter every single day, and you will learn how Christ prayed. And you will learn how, through His instruction, He will perfect your prayers as well, because that is what Christ does. Christ's role in prayer is to perfect our prayers. How else does He do so? Secondly, we see that Christ perfects our prayers through His prompting of our prayer. Through His prompting of our prayer. We all realize that prayer can sometimes be a difficult spiritual discipline to undertake. Don't we? After all, look at Peter, James, and John. The ones that we just were talking about here in Matthew 26, they were with Jesus Himself. What a privilege. Can you imagine if you were in the place of Peter, James, or John, and you were actually with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, all by Himself? They had been taught to pray by Jesus Himself. They were the ones that asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, and Jesus Himself was giving him those very words of the Lord's Prayer, face to face. Imagine if you were them. They were asked to be with Him and to pray with Him. Imagine that. If Jesus were to say to you, I want you to come with me a little further out from the rest of the disciples. And I want you to come with me and to see my grief before my Father. And I want you to pray with me. What an honor. What a tremendous privilege that must have been for Peter, James, and John. But what happened to them? They fell asleep. Prayer, even in the life of the apostles, even the ones that were called by Jesus Himself, even the ones that were taught by Jesus personally, even the ones that Jesus said, those three, come with me a little further and pray with me. Watch with me, just pray out with me. What an amazing thing. And yet, it does. The Spirit was willing. We all know that prayer can sometimes be a difficult spiritual discipline to undertake. How many times have you said, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer now? No. This morning, I was laying in bed and I was able to sleep in a little bit. The kids slept in a little bit later and I woke up about my normal time. I didn't want to wake my wife up because she had gotten in late last night from work, and I wanted just to be quiet. And so I just laid there in bed and I was thinking, okay, I'm going to start praying for the morning service, started praying for my family, started praying for individuals that came on my heart, and you know what? About an hour later, I woke up. Sometimes it's been said that if you're really tired, pray. If you have insomnia, pray, right? Because you'll fall fast asleep. It's hard sometimes to pray. It's a very difficult discipline to involve yourself in. But we need the prompting of the Lord in prayer, and this is how he perfects our prayer. By prompting us at times and opportunities to pray. And so our response ought to be is when the Lord prompts us in our heart to pray, we need to pray. How does He do so? The Lord prompts us, first of all, to an attitude of prayer. The Lord prompts us to an attitude of prayer. When you have a desire to pray, we've all experienced this probably at times in our lives. If you have a desire to pray, it is because the Lord Himself is prompting you. I mentioned, imagine if you were Peter, James, and John, and Jesus said, come with me and pray with me. You don't have to imagine it with Peter, James, and John, because Jesus Christ is doing that with you when you feel His prompting to pray. Jesus Christ Himself, your Savior, your Lord, is tapping you on the shoulder and tapping you in the heart. You may not see Him physically, but spiritually, He is pressing on your heart and saying, spend a part of it a while. Spend some time with Him in prayer. Yes, you are like Peter, James, and John. You do have the privilege to go aside and go a little farther away with Christ to pray. It is as real and personal as it was to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, because the Lord Himself is prompting you. And when He says to you, come with me for a little while and pray, how do you respond? Lord, I'm too busy. Lord, I've got these other things on my mind. Lord, I've got all these other activities and other events. You're too busy to pray. You're too busy to pray. Consider Romans 15:30 for a moment. Turn there with me. Romans 15:30, Paul says this. Romans 15:30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, that's key phrase in this verse. I beseech you, brethren, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the love of the Spirit, what? That you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. When the Lord prompts you to pray, we need to respond in prayer. Paul is saying that when you pray, you are doing it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when you pray, you are responding to the very prompting of your Savior in heaven. He is calling you to a time of prayer, and we must respond. He is providing you the time. He's providing you the place. He's even providing you the circumstances for you to pray. So we must not delay. Do not fall asleep, but rather pray. And the Lord prompts you to an attitude of prayer. A second way in which He prompts us to prayer is that the Lord prompts us very often to specific prayers. He does so in the Word of God itself. In Matthew 26:41, you don't need to turn there. We were just there. But when you face temptation, Christ prompted us and His disciples to pray. Jesus said after His disciples fell asleep during that time of prayer in Gethsemane, Jesus said to His disciples, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When you face temptation, Jesus Christ Himself will prompt you to pray to overcome temptation. After all, He was involved in temptation Himself, was He not? He knows what it's like. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And He realizes the very plight of His people. And so He says, when we are tempted, come to me in prayer and I will help you. I will perfect your prayer and I will strengthen you to overcome those temptations. Not only when you face temptation, but when you even face unbelievers, Christ will prompt you to pray. When was the last time your heart was truly impacted when you saw the mass and the multitude of people wandering through this world of ours without Christ? When was the last time your heart was moved to tears because you saw people wandering about as sheep without a shepherd? Jesus says this in Luke 10:2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And then He prompts prayer by saying, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. When you see people that need the Lord, you ought to be prompted to pray. I appreciate what Brother Tom mentioned this morning as he was describing for us his burden for our own community and for our schools and for the young people within our schools. Not only should it prompt us to action, but it should prompt us to prayer. We need to pray. This should be an opportunity when Christ is tugging at our heartstrings and saying, pray, pray for these specific prayers. How do you respond when the Lord prompts you to pray? Do you even recognize that it is His voice that is prompting you and calling you to prayer? Christ perfects our prayer by prompting us to pray. And when He prompts us to pray, we must respond in prayer. A third way that Jesus Christ perfects our prayers is through this. Through His preparation of our prayer. Through His preparation of our prayer. One of the present works of Christ for His people is His work of being an intercessor. In fact, if you'll turn me to Romans chapter 8, just a page over from where you were just at, Romans chapter 8, verse 34, we read this. "Who is he that condemneth?" Paul asks. "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, right now, who also maketh intercession for us." Jesus Christ has a function to do right now as our high priest. He is in heaven, appearing before God the Father. He is an actual human being in heaven, God-man, Jesus Christ, there in heaven, interceding for us. Through His work as intercessor, Jesus Christ prepares the way for us to pray. That's a wonderful thing. He paves the way. As our intercessor, Jesus Christ prepares the way for us to pray. In other words, Jesus Christ provides the infinite value and infinite power to our poor and weak prayers. If you have a weak prayer, Christ perfects it and strengthens it. If you have a finite prayer, a powerless prayer, when you go to Him in faith, Christ is the one as our intercessor who takes that powerless prayer and infuses His own infinite power and brings it to the very throne of the Father in heaven. So how does He do this? How does Jesus Christ perfectly prepare our prayers for the presentation of the Father? A good picture of this is the Old Testament priests. I mentioned last week that the picture of the incense is a picture of the Holy Spirit being offered with our prayers before God. Okay? So the priest would take that incense. He would take the prayers of the saints. He would take the incense. He would go that one time a year. He would go into the Holy of Holies, that high priest. And we would present it before God the Father. There at the throne, there at the mercy seat, he would cover it with sprinkled blood, and he would offer that incense, he would offer those prayers on behalf. We have a great high priest, it says in Hebrews. We've been discussing at length on Sunday mornings in the book of Hebrews about our high priest. Jesus Christ brings the prayers that are accompanied with the prayers of the Holy Spirit. And he brings them before the presence of his Father and he says, "Here, I am the one who has perfected these prayers. They don't have any merit. They don't have any power. They don't have any really purpose for coming before you except through me. I am coming to you on their behalf. I am interceding for your people." And the Father will listen and answer his Son. It's a wonderful thing. How does Jesus Christ perfectly prepare our prayers in order to present them to the Father? Three ways. First, through His own prayer for us. In John chapter 17, if you'll turn there for a moment, in John chapter 17 we have what is called the high priestly prayer of Christ on earth. John chapter 17, the entire chapter, is a wonderful demonstration of the prayers of Christ. John chapter 17. I want to focus really on just two verses. Look at verses 9 and then verse 20. Jesus says this in his prayer to the Father here on earth. He says, "I pray for them," referring to his own children, his own people. "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." And then look at verse 20. You wonder if you're included in this prayer? You definitely are. Verse 20, Jesus says in prayer, "Neither pray I for these alone, the disciples that were there present with him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." The ones in the future, you are mentioned, you are thought of in this prayer. Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, on earth, prayed for you and me in this prayer. Isn't that a wonderful thing? This is how he prepares our prayers, is that he first prayed for us, that our prayers and our lives might be pure before the Father as well. Jesus Christ prayed specifically for you and for me. He had us in mind and in his heart when he prayed these words to his Father. And Christ's perfectly offered prayers were always perfectly answered. And they always will be. You don't need to turn there, but in Peter's example, In Luke 22:31, the Lord said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And Jesus says these amazing words, "But I have prayed for thee. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Think, wow, I wish I was Peter and Jesus would have told me those words. "I have prayed for thee." The truth is, he does say those words to you. Jesus Christ, in his own ministry here on earth, was an infinite ministry. It was a ministry for all his people. And when he says, "I pray for them, and I pray for them that will believe on me through the words that I am sending through my apostles," the Lord is saying, "I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you." What a wonderful thing to be prayed for. I love it when people come to me and say, "You know what? I'm praying for you." I hope it's an encouragement to each other when you go to someone and say, "You know what? I've been praying for you about this specific need or this specific problem. I've been praying for you. Even in a specific way, I prayed for you on Thursday. I prayed for you at this time and in this way and for this reason, for this purpose." How much better and how much of a greater encouragement is it to hear the fact that Jesus Christ prayed for you? Jesus Christ prayed for you, and that is how he perfects our prayers. So what Christ has prayed for us to be perfected in the presence of the Father, he will do. Not only does he perfect and prepare our prayers through his own prayer for us, but also through his own performance for us as an intercessor. Secondly, through his own performance for us. Hebrews 7:25, you don't need to turn there. We looked at this a few weeks back on a Sunday morning. "Wherefore he is able," referring to Christ, "to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He ever liveth to make intercession for you. Wow! That is his purpose in heaven right now. Not only did he pray for you on earth, but right now, in heaven, his job is to intercede for you. He ever liveth to do it. Sometimes we joke and say, "Oh, I would love to do something for you. I would love to do this for you." Sometimes we as spouses, you know, we want to serve our spouse. We love them. We want to care for them. And sometimes we'll say, "Honey, you know, just to help you out, I would love to do the dishes for you. I would love to clean our room up and the kids' rooms. I'd love to vacuum." And deep down, of course, there really is no love in doing it, right? The love is for our spouse. We'll do it because it has to be done. Because we love our spouse. I don't really love vacuuming. I don't really love doing dishes. I don't really love making our bed and all that stuff. I don't love doing that. I don't ever live to do the dishes. But Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. That is how he prepares and perfects our prayers. That he is in heaven ever living to perform that service and function for you. Intercession is simply to go to a person on behalf of someone else. And this Christ ever liveth to accomplish. Another way that Christ perfectly prepares our prayers for presentation to the Father is through his own price for us. This is key. Because we could never have had our prayers approach God and the throne of grace without Christ's blood covering and cleansing us from sin. Could have never done it. And this is what Christ pleads for us in the presence of the Father. We know that we can approach the throne of grace boldly. Why? Not because of our own merits, but because of the merit of Christ. The high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies with blood. Without blood, they could not have entered and had their life spared. If they had gone in there and presumptuously not brought in the incense or the blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat, they would have been instantly killed. We cannot presume to go into the presence of God in prayer without the blood of Christ covering and cleansing us from sin. That is what Jesus Christ did. They did it on a continuous basis. Jesus Christ did it once for all. His blood he shed, he covered our sins, he cleansed us from our sins, he separated as far as the east is from the west. Now that the Father looks upon us, he sees his Son. He sees the righteousness of Christ. And if the question was ever come, if the question was ever brought up by the Father, and I don't think it is, but if the question was ever brought up by the Father, what right does this man have to come and bring his prayers before me? But imagine Jesus Christ saying, because I have paid the right. That's what Jesus Christ has done. There, the presentation of our prayers. We can pray. We have the right to pray. We have the obligation and duty and privilege to pray because Jesus Christ has paid the way for us. Christ perfects our prayer by preparing our prayers for delivery to the Father. Fourth, how else does Christ perfect our prayers? Through His presentation of our prayer. Finally, we reach the very throne room of heaven where Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and we see Him presenting our prayers in a perfect way. Hebrews 13:15 says this, by Him, therefore, by Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. As Arnold C. Gabelline once wrote, Jesus Christ presents our spiritual sacrifices to God, our worship, our praise, and our prayers. We address to God, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All those things that we address to Him are imperfect, but as they are presented to God by Christ, they are acceptable unto God, and they delight the heart of God for that reason. It's because Christ is offering and presenting our prayers to Him. Jesus Christ is right now in the presence of God the Father in heaven for us, and He is perfecting and offering our prayers so that they will be heard and answered. We are not heard because of our own words. We are heard because of Christ's work. That is something we always need to come and remember. When we say in Jesus' name, it's not because of our words, it's because of Christ's worth and His merits that we have the right to come into the presence of God in prayer. Christ presents our prayers for instruction to God. There are several different kinds of prayers that we can pray for. I'm going to consider them briefly here. Christ presents our prayers for instruction to God. Have you ever wanted to know a burning desire of what a verse meant or what a particular topic of Scripture was all about? Truth is, we can't know in our own intellect, in our own logic, in our own knowledge. Because, as it says in 2 Corinthians 2, we cannot understand things because they are spiritually discerned. But Christ has put His Spirit within us so that we can know. And now, if we ask God for wisdom, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, is presenting this before the Father and say, Father, I have placed within your child the Spirit of God. And now he can know the truth. He can know it because they're spiritually discerned. He has the capability now, through the Spirit of God, to understand what you're saying. God the Father will say, okay, I will give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Not only does Christ present our prayers for instruction, but Christ also presents our prayers of confession to God. Very often we seek forgiveness because we need it. We fail. We fail. We fall, we sin. Yet the Lord abides faithful. We don't deserve forgiveness when we sin, do we? Christ, again, there in the presence of the Father, offers His blood for our pardon and our forgiveness. And that is why, as it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Is it because of our words of confession? No! Because it's the merit and the worth of Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed for that sin. That is the wonder of confession. Not only does Christ present our prayer of confession to God, but also Christ presents our prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God. We do seek to worship God as Christians, yet we ought to, and often do, feel inadequate to do so. But the amazing thing about Christ and His perfecting work in our prayer is that Christ provides infinite, limitless value to our prayer and praise and worship so that it's sweet to God. Again, it's not our words, but it's the work of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, now thanks be to God, Paul says, Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And then he says this, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Christ perfects our prayers by presenting our prayers to the Father. What a wonderful thing. That is the role of Christ in prayer. He perfects our prayers in that amazing way. Therefore, we may come to God in prayer with great faith and confidence because Christ provides infinite value and infinite power to our weak and finite prayers.